You're listening to Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. It's time for our Wisconsin Legends segment, and today we're talking about not a person, but a thing, the snowmobile.
That's right. Believe it or not, the snowmobile was invented right here in Wisconsin. And here to explain how this machine came to be invented in the Badger State is Joseph Kapler. He is the curator for the Division of Museums and Historic Sites at the Wisconsin Historical Society. Joe, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, and good afternoon.
I want to start out with what happened before 1924, and we'll get to why that's an important date in a few seconds. So in 1924, cars were still were kind of popular in Wisconsin. There were roads of some kind, and you could drive around the state. We had lots and lots of snow, though. So what happened in the winter when people needed to get around in cars?
Well, if you didn't have a sleigh for your horse, or the snow was too deep for your horse, perhaps you were trekking it on foot in snowshoes. Or you simply didn't travel as much as you would when there wasn't all the snow, especially in the deep snow of the Northwoods.
And some people, though, would take their Model Ts and they would sort of put, I've seen some pictures of this, where they would put them on skis and sort of ride on top of the snow. And then in 1924, the story is that Carl Ellison hurt his foot and designed something totally different. So talk about kind of what he did that was so different, and then how that morphed into what we know as the snowmobile today.
Certainly. Carl was an avid hunter and fisher and trapper, and like a lot of his brothers and buddies, would out in the woods an awful lot and during the wintertime. And with a disabled foot, he really couldn't keep up. And kind of in his own words, he decided, if I can't join them, to beat them. And he thought of always tinkering with ways for better winter travel in the deep snow. And so he himself was slapping some skis on the front end of a Model T, and that could work again on established roads or trails. But that vehicle wasn't really nimble for in the timber, in the woods. And so what Carl's 1924 invention, where it stands out, is he made something solely created on its own. It wasn't an adaptation of an existing vehicle, and it was far more nimble to be able to get not only on the trail, but off the trail and into the woods, especially if you're a trapper and checking trap lines and things like that, or a hunter especially. And so he took a little bit from here and a little bit from there. So pieces of a Johnson outboard motor, a radiator from a Model T, skis, rope, cobbled it together and made what he called the motor toboggan. And this is just a simple description.
And it's interesting, though, because you said it was nimble, and I've seen photos of it. And the original one still exists, right?
Certainly, and that's a great story. A couple years ago at the Historical Society Museum, we did an exhibition on major Wisconsin innovations and trying to find that alpha artifact, right, the first
mm-hmm.
one.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever sits around in a lab and says, "Eureka, this is the great X or Y, and I should preserve this for some curator down the road." Things always get morphed or tossed out, but the original 1924, from which he received a patent a couple years later, exists. Virtually the same as it was then. And if you're up north, about 6 months a year, it's at the Vilas County Museum. The other time, it's at Ellison's, their hardware and lumber store right there in Saner on display. So, as a curator, that is just wonderful that original is still around. You can, get right up to it and check it out.
And I have to say, though, that original one does not look very nimble.
It wouldn't be as with our 21st century understanding of snowmobiles as we know them, with their high performance. They look like they would be a little tippy, kind of a high center of balance there. Yet they could still, reach speeds that I would be scared to death on one of those. But considering what else the choices were at that time, that was a great step forward.
And it was a step forward, but, it did not stay in one place for long, right? I mean, as I understand it, he built a pretty successful company, took an order for 40 or so that wound up going to Finland or someplace like that, but worked very hard at improving them. What sorts of things was he doing to make those original motor toboggans more into what we know as a snowmobile today?
Yeah, I'd say he's first and foremost kind of a tinkerer and innovator. And so in his very small shop up there in Saner, continually made about 15 or so of these machines, and so all hand-built, trying to reduce weight, trying to get a little better engine power, a little better traction, maybe a little bit on the underside to increase potential flotation if you're going out over the ice. So tweaks here and there, a little more creature comfort, maybe even a windscreen, and then when so that was throughout the 1930s, and then as World War II production ramped up, I think he realized that he wouldn't, even if big orders came, he wouldn't have the capacity to fulfill them. And then he entered into a partnership with another Wisconsin company, a four-wheel drive corporation out of Clintonville, west of Green Bay, who had more, a greater production capacity. So he assigned his patents to them, and they had the production rights, and he received royalty. And so then from 1941 on to 1946, 47, all the production, they still branded them Elison Motor Toboggans, but that was done out of the Clintonville facilities of four-wheel drive.
So back in those early days of snowmobile, you know, we all know who rides snowmobiles now. You put them on a trailer, you take them up north, you go out in the woods, and you have a good time. But these were not necessarily, these were not machines for recreation. These were machines for work.
A lot of the serious hunters and trappers, that's their wintertime livelihood. And you read some of the contemporary referrals, customer referrals, and people talking about how they can, you know, travel 120 miles of trap lines in a day. Unheard of, obviously, with foot on foot. So not only that, but then able to get supplies, medical supplies or food to remote areas, able to check things like power lines in the winter, which would be very susceptible to damage from snow and ice storms. So certainly probably considered more functional. And today, obviously, with our better roads and motor vehicles, the snowmobile is probably more, first and foremost, a recreational vehicle. But I don't think that was necessarily his intent from the beginning.
So when did that shift start to take place in Wisconsin, where you saw the snowmobile kind of evolve and from being just a workhorse, you know, kind of a tractor for the snow, if you will, into something that is used more for recreation, for racing, or for just going out on a trail and having a good time on the weekend?
In the late 1940s, Four Wheel Drive Corporation shifted their production to a Canadian facility, and yet they're still branded Elison, and they were ramping up size, multi-passenger, larger engines. You could, and then also marketing the speed aspect that you can really get out and fly on the snow, and there's a fun part of it definitely. And then other makers, manufacturers entering the marketplace, and I think once you saw in the early 1960s when switching the engine from front to rear. And then providing most of the weight right over the traction on the back, and really be able to have high performance at speed, turning up and up hills, that type of thing. And the snowmobile and more makers and designing some just cool machines, cool looking machines with great names. Polaris was directly influenced by probably by the last model of the Elison. And so you see all these things coming together. And so in the 1960s, the snow then primarily became called the snowmobile. That's a better marketing name than a motor toboggan. Sounds
I'll
faster.
Give it that.
Sounds
yeah.
funner, more fun. And so about that time is when you see kind of the shift.
And those, some of those names that we all know, like Skidoo and Arctic Cat and Yamaha and so forth, is there any Elison name still associated with snowmobiling?
Certainly for the folks, you know, the collectors and the enthusiasts, there are Elison motor toboggans at museums around the country, not just here in Wisconsin. But the first is here in Wisconsin. Again, I think that's just fantastic. But there are numerous museums around, and they're highly collectible. Those early models, they pop up every now and then. And then if you're up in Vilas County, hotbed of snowmobiling, you know, stop in for folks who know the name. you know, you can still go to the Elison hardware store there, like I said, and see not only the 1924 machine, but others as well, kind of a little mini museum in there. And the Vilas County Museum, the time that it's open during the year, has an excellent collection of not just Elisons, but other motor or other snowmobiles as well.
Do they? I know they do this a lot with vintage race cars and with vintage motorcycles and so forth. But in the winter, will they bring out some of these old vintage motor toboggans and start them up so people can get a real sense of what they looked like and what they sounded like and what they smelled like?
You know, that is a great question. I've seen some historical footage, but I haven't seen some contemporary footage, and I do not know the answer to that. I would imagine that some folks who are collectors as well as tinkerers who have the ability, like any old technology, it's one thing to have it. It's another thing to be able to know how to operate it and keep it up and running and still remain vintage.
So are you surprised at the number of people in Wisconsin who don't realize that the snowmobile has its origins right here in the Badger State?
We learned a little bit about that when we did the Innovations Exhibition a few years ago. And this is one of those things where you mentioned the snowmobile was invented in Wisconsin. So, oh, well, yeah, sure, okay, that makes sense, of course. That seems logical. Yeah, maybe Wisconsin, maybe Minnesota, something like that. But I think for the most part, unless you're kind of an enthusiast, you wouldn't know the name Elison. And so that's the types of stories that we try to get out there as well. It's certainly a significant story because snowmobiling is a major part of wintertime activity in North America, and so it's a major Wisconsin contribution, and maybe it's not so well known, and that's where we feel we can kind of shed light and give these stories a broader, higher platform.
Well, thanks for telling us about the snowmobile today.
You're very welcome, and folks are ever up north in Saner. It's a neat little stop there at the hardware and lumber store and to check out, even if you don't like snowmobiles, if you like old equipment. It's pretty cool.
Sounds cool. Joe Kapler, curator for the Division of Museums and Historic Sites at the Wisconsin Historical Society.